إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وآله وأصحابه وسلم. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام، إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. ذلك بأن الله لم يكن مغيرا نعمة أنعمها على قوم حتى يغيروا ما بأنفسهم. Allah says in the Quran that is because Allah will never replace a favor that He conferred upon a people until they change what's within themselves. We begin by making shukr to Allah and thanking Allah for all the blessings that Allah gave us. And upon occasion, Dawood alayhi salam, he asked Allah, he says, Ya Rabbi, akhbirni ma adna ni'mak alayya. This is from the Israeliyat, where he says, Oh my Lord, tell me, inform me of what is the least of your favors upon me. And Allah says to Dawood alayhi salam, Ya Dawood, tanaffas, Dawood, breathe, fatanaffasa, and he breathed. And Allah says, Ya Dawood, hadha adna ni'mi alayk, this is the least of my favors to you. But it's with that breath, La ilaha illallah, that we proclaim this kalima. With that breath that Allah gave us, that we proclaim the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that by itself is the greatest of Allah's favors upon us. Like one of the scholars of the past, he says that there is no favor, ma min ni'matin, that is greater, that is more powerful, that is more weighty and heavy. Min an arrafahum la ilaha illallah, وَأَنَّ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ لَهُمْ فِي الْآخِرَةِ كَالْمَاءِ فِي الدُّنْيَا. Then that the creation came to learn that there is none who deserves worship except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that kalima for them in the next life is like water for them in this life, meaning a necessity. Upon occasion, in another Israeli art collected by Ibn al-Qayyim, Allah says to Dawood alayhi salam, He says, Ya Dawood, ushkurni haqqa shukri, Dawood, thank me the way that I deserve to be thanked. And Dawood says, Ilahi, my God, kaifa ashkuruk haqqa shukruk wa shukri iyaka ni'ma mink. My God, how could I thank you the way that you deserve to be thanked, when thanking you is in and of itself a blessing from you? For could we ever thank Allah without Allah giving us the tongue that is used to thank Him? And then Allah says, Ya Dawood, O Dawood, Al-An Shakartani Haqqa Shukri. Now you have thanked me the way that I deserve to be thanked, because you recognize that there is no way on earth you could have thanked me the way that I deserve to be thanked. Upon occasion, our Prophet was in the company of Mu'adh ibn Jabal. He says, Ya Mu'adh, O Mu'adh, Inni Uhibbuk, I love you. Faqul, so say, Allahumma a'inni ala dhikrika wa shukrika wa husni ibadatik. O Allah, I ask for your support, I ask for your help and for your assistance to remember you. And I ask for your support to thank you. And I ask for your support and help and assistance to worship you well. Our Prophet would spend the entire night in prayer. His feet would become swollen. His beloved wife Aisha, she says, O Prophet of Allah, Atasna hadha, you're doing this when you know that Allah has forgiven your sins past and present. And he says to his beloved wife, Ya Aisha, أَفَلَا أَكُونَ عَبْدًا شَكُورًا. Should I not be a thankful and grateful servant to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So it's with that we begin by praising Allah. Alhamdulillah ala ni'mat al-Islam wa kafabiha ni'ma. We praise Allah for the blessing of Islam, and that's sufficient as a blessing for us. For it's with that blessing that Allah allowed humanity a chance to be taken out from the depths of darknesses into the light of knowledge and awareness of Allah. And that's basira, that's insight Allah gives His creation. When they recognize their purpose in life, when they recognize their purpose, that is to worship Allah. And when Allah says, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسِ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ, and Allah uses the negation and says He has not created humanity, He has not created the human being nor the jinn, except that they worship Him. Ibn Abbas says about this ayah, he says Allah meant إِلَّا لِيَعْرِفُونَ, except that they come and know Allah, that they have awareness and recognition of Allah. For how could you worship the one that you don't know? And how could you love someone that you don't know? And how could you fear someone that you don't know? So we recognize Allah, and from that recognition we enter into the spirit of worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah gave us the blessing of the month of Ramadan. شهر رمضان شهر الرحمة شهر المغفرة شهر القرآن. The month of the Quran, the month of forgiveness, the month of clemency, the month of mercy. And take this example for a moment. Upon occasion there was a man who owned an orchard, and beside his orchard was the orchard of an orphan, and in between these two orchards was a palm tree. And one day this orphan, he went to complain to the Prophet of Allah that this tree belongs to him and not to this other individual. And the Prophet, he came and he measured these two orchards to discover where this tree actually belonged and to whom. And he discovered this tree, this palm tree, belonged not to this orphan, but to this other individual. And upon hearing this news, the orphan begins to cry, because his livelihood depended upon this tree and its fruits. And when the Prophet saw this boy cry, he said to this other individual, you know what? If you just give this boy this palm tree, then I guarantee for you a tree in paradise. And the man was so enraged that how could this boy complain to me, complain to the Prophet ﷺ about me? How could he do that? And he walked off in a huff and a puff. He walked off, angry. But Abu Dahda was observing. May Allah be pleased with him, this Sahabi. He was observing this scenario. And so he goes to the Prophet ﷺ and he says, O Prophet of Allah, what if I was to buy this palm tree from this individual, and then I give this palm tree to this orphan boy, would I also have a tree in paradise? And the Prophet said, yes, you would. And so Abu Dahda goes to this individual and he says to this man, you know what, I have an orchard like your orchard, and I have palm trees like you have palm trees. And what if I was to sell my entire orchard to you for the sake of this one palm tree? Would you accept that as trade? And the man who said, alright, take it, no problem. And so Abu Dahda goes home to his family, and he finds his wife and children eating from the dates that belong to him and his palm tree. And he takes them from their mouths, and he throws them on the floor, and he says, my family, today we have made tijara with Allah. Today we have made trade with the Lord of the heavens and the earth. Today we have sold the earth for the sake of the next life. And Abu Dahda sold his entire orchard for the price of this one palm tree, and then gave this one palm tree to this boy. Abu Dahda was killed on the day of Uhud. And our Prophet walked past his body, and he looked upon him and he says, how many shady palm trees does Abu Dahda have in paradise today? That is an opportunity that was lost by one individual and it was gained by another individual, and that's life. And that was Ramadan, and that was Laylatul Qadr, that was a night of power. That is the days and nights of this earth. Like Al-Hasan al-Basri says, نَهَارُكَ ضَيْفُكَ فَأَحْسِنْ إِلَيْهِ, your days are your guests. فَإِنْ أَحْسَنْتَ إِلَيْهِ إِرْتَحَلَ بِحَمْدِكَ وَإِنْ أَسَأْتَ إِلَيْهِ إِرْتَحَلَ بِذَمِّكَ وَكَذَلِكَ لَيْلَتُكَ, these are your days and your nights. Like your guest, and whoever is good to his guest, the guest will leave praising him. And whoever is bad to his guest, the guest will leave cursing him. And like that are your nights. Upon occasion the Ansar, they came, the helpers from Medina. And they came to the Prophet ﷺ with a material need to do with their farming. And they said, you know, we're going to go to him today and ask him to make prayer to us, to Allah, dua to Allah. So that he asked Allah to help us with our farming. And so they go to him, And as they're approaching, the Prophet of Allah, he says, Marhaban bil Ansar, Marhaban bil Ansar. Welcome, O Ansar. Welcome, O Ansar. He says to them that there is nothing that you will ask me today. There is nothing that you will ask me today, illa atitukumuhu, except that I will give it to you. And there is nothing that I will ask Allah today for your sake, except Allah will give it to me for your sake. Now we should place ourselves in that position where we could ask Allah for anything and Allah will grant it for us. That's an opportunity, that's a moment that we have, a chance, a special chance. Now the Ansar, they came for their farming material, dunya need. But on that day, at that moment, at that time, they said, well, then ask Allah to forgive us. Ask Allah for forgiveness. We want to be forgiven. Now on that, at that time, at that moment, the lives of the Ansar changed forever. Because our Prophet said, Allahumma ghfir lil Ansar. Oh Allah, forgive the Ansar. Wali abna'i al Ansar. And forgive the children of the Ansar. Wali abna'i abna'i al Ansar. And forgive the grandchildren of the Ansar. Wali azwaj al Ansar. And forgive the wives of the Ansar. Wali jiran al Ansar. And forgive the neighbors of the Ansar. Anyone who was connected to the Ansar on that day gained forgiveness from Allah because of an opportunity, because of a chance, where they asked Allah for the right thing at the right time and it was granted by Allah and they were forgiven. That's life, that's what we have. And one lesson that we can take from Ramadan, that we had 30 days of an opportunity to gain closeness to Allah, 30 days to gain taqwa of Allah. And what can we take now that Ramadan has left us? What can we still take from Ramadan? What can we still take from those acts of worship that we try to do in Ramadan? One of the first things that we tried to learn in Ramadan was sincerity, was ikhlas. Because if you remember that our fasting, no one could see it. And like the ulama, they said, Ibn Qayyim and Ibn Qudama and others, they said, أَنَّهُ سِرْ وَأَمَلْ بَاطِنْ لَا يَرَغْوَ الْخَلْقُ وَلَا يَدْخُلُهُ الرِّيَاءُ. This is a hidden action. No one can see your fasting. And so, showing off will not enter that action of yours. You have sincerity. We learned that in Ramadan, how to be sincere. And sincerity, in fact, is one of the most difficult things. Like Sufyan al-Thawri, he says, Rahimahullah, I have never tried to cure a disease that is more deadly than my own intentions. That is more deadly than my own intentions. So that's a lifelong struggle to perfect and control our intentions. And remember Ibn Qudama's words, فَالنَّاسْ كُلُّهُمْ هَلِكِ إِلَّا لَعَامِلُونَ. All of the people are destroyed except those who have knowledge. وَالْعَالِمُونَ كُلُّهُمْ هَلِكِ إِلَّا لَعَامِلُونَ. And those who have knowledge are all destroyed except those who act upon their knowledge. وَالْعَامِلُونَ كُلُّهُمْ هَلِكِ إِلَّا الْمُخْلِصُونَ. And those who have knowledge and act upon their knowledge are all destroyed except those who are sincere. وَالْمُخْلِصُونَ عَلَى خَطْرٍ عَظِيمٍ. And those who are sincere are in great danger, because it's very difficult to maintain that sincerity. Because that's a struggle that we have to fight within our own selves every moment of our lives, to check why are we doing the things that we're doing? Why are we saying the things that we're saying? Why are we in the places in which we are in? We have to make sure that we are doing these things only and exclusively for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We learn in Ramadan how to be companions of the Qur'an, how to be companions of the Book of Allah. So we found in our days and nights we were reciting the Book of Allah. And like Ibn Mas'ud, he said, may Allah be pleased with him, he says, أَنَّهُ يَنْبَغِي لِحَامِلِ الْقُرْآنِ أَنْ يُعْرَفَ بِلَيْلِهِ إِذَا النَّاسِ نَائِمُونَ. That we should be recognized in the night when the people are asleep. وَبِنَهَارِهِ إِذَا النَّاسِ مُفْتِرُونَ. And we should be recognized in the day by our fasting when the people are consuming themselves. وَبِحُزْنِهِ إِذَا النَّاسِ يَفْرَحُونَ. And we should be recognized in our grief when the people are rejoicing. وَبِبُكَائِهِ إِذَا النَّاسِ يَضْحَكُونَ. And be recognized in our crying when the people are laughing. وَبِصَمْتِهِ إِذَا النَّاسِ يَخُوضُونَ. And in our silence when the people are mixing truth with error. وَبِخُشُوعِهِ إِذَا النَّاسِ يَقْتَالُونَ. And in our humility when the people are strutting on this earth. To become companions of the Book of Allah. So that Quran, that revelation will intercede for us in the next life. We learn through our fasting and our perfecting of our prayer and our wudu and our acts of worship to become companions of the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And what a gift. Like Sufyan al-Thawri said, he says to his companion Yusuf, he says, Ya Yusuf, إِذَا بَلَغَ عَنْ رَجُلٍ بِالْمَشْرِقِ أَنَّهُ صَاحِبُ سُنَّةٍ فَبَعَثْ إِلَيْهِ بِالسَّلَامِ. He says, Yusuf, if you meet a man from the east and he's a companion of my sunnah, then send my salam to him. وَإِذَا بَلَغَ عَنْ آخِرٍ بِالْمَغْرِبِ أَنَّهُ صَاحِبُ سُنَّةٍ فَبَعَثْ إِلَيْهِ بِالسَّلَامِ. And you meet a man from the west and he's a companion of my sunnah, then of the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ, then give him my salam, because the people of sunnah are few in these days, and that's more than 1,000 years ago. Sufyan al-Thawri says, "Istawsu bi ahl sunnah khayran fa innahum ghuraba." Look after and take care of the people of sunnah, because these are the strangers in our time. And we learned that, inshaAllah, during our days of Ramadan, in trying to live by the example of our Prophet and his example and his ways of worship and everything else. We learned from Ramadan the idea of forgiveness. And so we would raise our hands in the days and nights of Ramadan, trying to ask Allah for forgiveness. And in recognition of all the sins that we commit by day and by night. And remember what Allah says in the Quran, قُلْ يَا عِبَادِيَ الَّذِينَ أَسْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ لَا تَقْنَطُوا مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ جَمِيعًا. O my servants who have wronged their own souls, then don't despair of the mercy of Allah. Because Allah forgives everything as long as we're alive, and we can ask Allah for forgiveness and you will find Allah forgiving. So a lesson we learn after Ramadan is that Allah is also still forgiving, and Allah is still merciful, and Allah does not change in His nature or in His attributes or in His name. And Allah is as He described Himself, and Allah is Rahman and Rahim and Ghafoor and Tawwab as He described Himself. So we will find Allah like that in Ramadan. We will find Allah like that outside of Ramadan. So we have still opportunities and chances where we have to still ask Allah for forgiveness for all the sins that we commit by day and by night. And Imam al-Shafi'i, every night of his life, he would call upon Allah. He would say, Ta'azamani dhanbi, my Lord, my sin looks very big in my eyes. فَلَمَّا قَرَنْتُهُ بِعَفْوِكَ رَبِّي كَانَ أَفْوُكَ أَعْظَمَا. But O Allah, when I compare my sin to your forgiveness, then your forgiveness is bigger than my sin. And we have to remember that Allah's forgiveness is bigger than the sins that we commit. And Allah's mercy is greater than the sins that we commit. Upon occasion, Musa alayhi salam was isolated in the desert with his Bani Israel, his tribe of Israel. He was isolated and there was a drought and it was so severe. It was so severe and it was so hot and there was no rain. So one day he gathered his people and he says, you know what, we're going to ask Allah today, all of us. Ask Allah to bless us with the rain. And so they all get together and they raise their hands. And they say, Allah, send us the rain, otherwise we're going to die. And upon completion of their prayer, even the few clouds that were scattered in the sky, they also disappeared. And the drought intensified and the heat intensified. So Musa says, Ya Allah, we asked you to send us the rain and you've made our situation worse than it was before. And Allah says, Musa, look, in your gathering there is one man who has sinned for 40 years. 40 years he has transgressed against me. Tell that man today to separate himself from your congregation and I will bless you with the rain. And so Musa alayhi salam, earnestly he appeals to his people, look, one of you has sinned for 40 years. Today he has to separate himself from the gathering and Allah will bless us with the rain. Now imagine we were that one person. We would wish desperately that someone else would take our place. We would wish desperately and look right, look left, see if someone else would just step forward. And this person, his sweat is running down his face and he's really panicking because he's going to be ashamed today. So at that moment in time, he calls upon his Lord with a sincerity he's never known before, with a piety he's never experienced before, with a desperation he's never experienced before, and he says, Ya Allah, on this day I ask you to forgive me and to hide my sin and to show mercy upon me. And at that moment in time, Allah blesses them with the rain. Now Musa alayhi salam is confused and he says, Ya Allah, we were all waiting for this individual to reveal himself and to separate himself from this gathering. And Allah reveals to Musa, Musa, it's because of the forgiveness of that man that I blessed you all with the rain. And Musa says, Ya Allah, then on this day show this man to me, I want to see who this man is. And Allah says, Musa, I've hid the sins of this man for 40 years, you think I'm going to expose him today? It's Allah we're dealing with. It's Allah we're dealing with. The poet said, Wallahi, by Allah, لو علموا قبيح سريرتي لعب السلام علي من يلقاني. If people really knew my sins, they wouldn't even shake my hand. They wouldn't even greet me. وَلَأَرَضُوا عَنِّي وَمَلَوْ صُحْبَتِي وَلَبَوَّتْ بَعْدَ كَرَامَتِي بِهِوَانِي. And they would refuse to be my companion. And after being noble, I would become ignoble and humiliated. وَلَكِنْ سَتَرَتَ مَعَيِبِي وَمَثَالِيبِي. But you, O Allah, you have hidden my sin and covered me. And so I praise you and thank you بِخَوَاطِرِي وَلِسَانِي وَجِوَارِي, with everything of my body and my heart and my tongue. I thank you and I bless you and I praise you today. So we should remember that Allah's doors of forgiveness and mercy are open throughout the year, but more so in Ramadan, but we still have chances and opportunities to call upon Allah the moment and every time we sin against Allah, and all the time we should be asking Allah for forgiveness. Our Prophet says, Ya ayyuhan nas, tubu ila rabbikum. He says, O people, seek forgiveness from your Lord. فَإِنِّي أَتُوبُ إِلَى اللَّهِ فِي الْيَوْمِ مِئَةَ مَرَّةٍ. For I seek forgiveness from my Lord 70 times a day, in one narration 100 times a day, and so on and so forth. We learn during the days of Ramadan about istiqamah, about being upright in our worship. And we fasted for 30 days. And we also have the 6 days of Shawwal to fast, and there's about 10 or 11 days left of this month. And whoever fasts those 6 days, he gets a reward for fasting their entire year. That again is an opportunity that we have to grasp. We learn in Ramadan istiqamah, steadfast and straight, and being straight and being truthful. For everything in our body was supposed to have been fasting during our fast. For when we are fasting, Allah is observing our hearts. Allah is observing our speech. Allah is observing our limbs. When we're praying, Allah is observing our hearts. So Allah is concerned with the inner as well as the outer. Upon occasion, people from Najran, they came. جَاءَ أَهْلُ Najran إِلَى رَسُولُ سَلَامٍ. And they said, O Prophet of Allah, send to us a truthful man. A truthful man. And he said to them, لَأَبْعَثَنَّ إِلَيْكُمْ رَجُلًا أَمِينًا حَقَّ أَمِينٍ حَقَّ أَمِينٍ. I will send to you a truthful man who is very truthful and extremely truthful. And so they began to look and see who is going to send. And he sent Abu Ubaidah ibn al-Jarrah radiallahu anhu. He sent one of his companions called Abu Ubaidah ibn al-Jarrah. Upon occasion, Sayyidina Umar, when he became Khalifa, he was addressing his companion. He says to them, Tamanna, make a wish. A man got up and he says, I wish I had the whole room full of gold, and I would use that gold for the sake of this religion, Islam. He sat down, he said again, Tamanno, make a wish. A man got up and he says, I wish I had the whole room full of diamonds and rubies and pearls, and I would use all of that to help this religion, Islam. He sat down, another man got up and he says, why don't you make a wish, O Umar? You're keeping us in suspense. What's your wish? What do you want to happen? What do you want for? And he says, لو كنت متمنيا ما تمنيت إلا ببيت مملوءا بأمثال أبو عبيدة ابن الجراح رضي الله عنه. He says, if I was to make a wish, I would wish for this whole room full of men like Abu Ubaidah ibn al-Jarrah. That's my wish. Because Abu Ubaidah was a truthful man, an upright man, who became Muslim when he was 17 years old. And since that time he lived his life in compliance and obedience with the laws of Allah. We have to become like that. Upright people who guard our speech. And we learned that in Ramadan. مَنْ لَمْ يَدَى قَوْلَ الزُّورِ وَالْأَمَلْ بِهِ فَلَيْسَ لِلَّهِ حَاجَةً فِي أَنْ يَضْعَ الطَّعْمَ وَشْرَبَ وَكَمَا قَالَ. Whoever doesn't leave false speech and acting by the false speech, Allah has no need for him to leave his food and his drink. So we learn about the speech and about the limb. And we ask Allah in His infinite mercy and His grace to make us people who really learn the lesson of taqwa, who really become people of taqwa in our lives and meet Allah in a pure state with clean hearts and pure hearts. We ask Allah in His infinite mercy and His grace to make us a people who take the opportunity when it's presented to us and are not of those who pass by chances and opportunities in our lives. May we be of those who compete with one another upon birr and taqwa, upon piety and goodness, and not upon ithm and udwan, upon sin and transgression. We seek refuge with Allah from the evil of our own selves and the evil of shaitan and the evil of evil whispering, and we seek refuge with Allah from the evil of Allah's creation. And we ask Allah to send peace and blessings and prayers upon His beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and upon all the prophets of Allah, upon Dawood alayhi salam, upon Isa, Jesus, the son of Mary, upon Musa alayhi salam, Moses, and upon Abraham and all the prophets of Allah. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. You know, brothers and sisters, Allah is concerned with our hearts, not with our limbs, not with our bodies. And upon occasion, He says that whoever has an atom's weight of pride in his heart will not enter paradise. And the Sahabi was confused, and he says, O Prophet of Allah, but I like to wear nice clothes. Does that mean I'm proud? He says, no. Inna Allaha jameel yuhibbu jamal. Allah is beautiful and Allah loves beauty. As long as we're not extravagant in our dress or anything else. But he says, pride is to turn away from the truth and to look down upon people. To look down upon people. And one thing we should have learned in Ramadan, and to try and learn in our entire life, like Ibn Qudama says, the Sawmul Qalb, he says that Sawmul Khusus al Khusus, the specific of the specific fast is the fast of the heart. And someone wrote to Dawood al-Ta'i once upon a time, Rahimullah, asking for advice, and he replied back to him in a letter, and he said to him, you know what, make your entire life like a fast, and then make your death your iftar, your opening of your fast. That's how really we should be. Brothers, we should not lose the spirit of Ramadan. Not lose the spirit of the Book of Allah. Not lose the spirit of the friendship and companionship and love and brotherhood that we find amongst ourselves in Ramadan. That should be maintained after Ramadan and our entire lives. We should keep the spirit of the Sunnah after Ramadan and our entire lives. Keep the spirit of Tawbah and Istighfar in our entire lives, of forgiveness and seeking forgiveness from Allah. And at the same time, we should remember that it's what is within our hearts and how we're correcting our hearts, and then what manifests upon our limbs and our actions that Allah is concerned about. Upon occasion, a man called Zahir, he was a poor man who had nothing. He didn't have hardly anything. All he had was a cloth and some things that he would sell on the street. And he came one day with his cloth and he laid it out on the floor and he placed his few things on his cloth, trying to make a living with that. And our Prophet came behind him, and in a moment of merriment, he placed his hands around the eyes of Zahir from behind him. And then he says, من يشتري هذا العبد? Who will buy this slave? Who will buy this slave? And Zahir, he turned and see, who is this? And then he discovers it's the Prophet of Allah. And the Prophet of Allah is joking with him. And so Zahir says to our Prophet, إِذَنْ تَجِدُنِي كَاسِدَ وَاللَّهِ If I was to go on sale, I would be very cheap. Whoever sold me wouldn't make much money from me. I'm not worth that much. I don't own that much. This is my simple, menial existence. This is who I am. And our Prophet said, لَكِنْ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ لَسْتَ بِكَاسِدٍ But you with Allah are not cheap, O Zahir. You are not cheap with Allah. You are expensive with Allah. Because Zahir had something that was not manifested or reflected in his outward appearance or in his material possessions. But he had something within himself manifested upon his limbs through good actions and good worship that made the mark with this man. Julaybib is another individual. May Allah be pleased with them both. Julaybib was dwarfed-like in appearance. And once our Prophet approached him and he says, Julaybib, are you married? Julaybib says, I don't even have friends. Who on earth is going to marry me? I don't even have a friend. Who would want to marry me? And our Prophet says, Julaybib, I'm going to marry you off today. And our Prophet went to one of the houses of the Ansari, knocked upon the door, and a man came out. And he says, you know what, I want to marry off your daughter. The man was so happy. And he says, of course, O Prophet of Allah, we would love for our daughter to marry you. And the Prophet says, no, not for me, for Julaybib. And the man's face changed. And he says, I have to go in and ask the missus. So he goes inside and he asks his missus. And he says, you know what? The Prophet wants to marry our daughter off. And she again is ecstatic. Of course we want to marry her. He says, no, for Julaybib. And he says, definitely not Julaybib. But look at the piety of this one wonderful woman who is listening from a different room. And she says, wait, my dear parents. Remember what Allah says? Allah says in the Quran that it is not befitting for any believer that when Allah and His Messenger have decreed a matter, have decided an affair, for the believers to have any choice in that regard. And he says, if he wants to marry me to Julaybib, I will marry Julaybib, because no harm shall come from this marriage. And they marry. And I think the next time we hear of Julaybib is when Julaybib is lying dead on the floor after an expedition. And our Prophet walked past his body. And he says to him, هَذَا مِنِّي وَأَنَا مِنْهُ This man is from me and I am from him. So before that he says to his disciples, his companions, هَلْ تَفْقِدُونَ مِنْ أَحَدٍ O companions, are you missing anyone? قَالُوا نَعَمْ They said, yes, we miss فُلَانًا وَفُلَانًا. We miss this person, that person, that person. He said a second time, هَلْ تَفْقِدُونَ مِنْ أَحَدٍ Are you missing anyone? They said, yes. This person, that person, that person. He says, a third time, are you missing anyone? They said, no. He says, وَلَكِنِّي أَفْقِدُ جُلَيْبِيبُ But as to me, I miss Julaybib. فَطْلِبُوهُ Go and find him. And they found him lying dead on the floor. And our Prophet walked past him and he says, this man is from me and I am from him. He is from me and I am from him. فَوَضَّهُ عَلَىٰ سَاعِدَيْهِ لَيْسَ لَهُ سَرِيرًا إِلَّا سَاعِدَ النَّبِيُّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهُ وَسَلَّمُ He placed Julaybib on his arms and the narrator says, Julaybib had no pillow on that day except the arms of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. These are men, so we have to try and be like. And we have to remember that it's our worship, it's our obedience to Allah, it's our commitment to La ilaha illallah and following the sunnah of the Prophet of Allah that makes a difference in our lives, that will make the difference in our next lives. And I'm just going to end by reminding myself and reminding all of us that our religion is a religion of hope. It's forbidden in Islam to be pessimistic. It's forbidden in our religion to lose hope. And we're always hopeful. Upon occasion, there was a man called Uthman bin Shayba. Uthman bin Shayba was the custodian of the keys to the Kaaba in the early days of Islam. Before he became a Muslim, the Prophet was in Mecca with a few followers. And Uthman bin Shayba was entertaining an entourage of the Quraysh who wanted to enter the house of Allah to worship the idols that were contained therein. And so he's got his key and he's dressed with all pomp and glory and he's going to open the door for them. And our Prophet comes along, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. because he also wants to enter this house. And Uthman bin Shaybah sees him, and he approaches him and he pushes our Prophet. He pushes him and he says to him, you know what, you are not deserving to enter this house. You are not worthy enough to enter this house. And our Prophet says to Uthman, oh Uthman, what would you do on a day when these keys that are in your hands are in my hands? And I will do with these keys whatever I want to do. And Uthman bin Shaybah says, you know what, if that day ever came, then rest assured we would all be destroyed and humiliated. It wasn't even a decade. It wasn't even a decade when our Prophet rode on his camel with his head on the neck of his camel in a sign of humility and submissiveness. And he approached the Kaaba, the black house in Mecca, and he was holding on to the cloth of the Kaaba. And he says, oh Quraysh, what should I do with you today? Remembering all the hardships that he's endured, what should I do with you today? But he forgave them. And he went straight to Uthman bin Shaybah, and he took the keys from his hands, and he went inside the Kaaba and he destroyed the idol. Did what he wanted to do with those same keys. Upon a king, the Prophet was resting by a tree after an expedition, and he rested his sword from the tree. And a man came who was a non-Muslim, and he took the sword and he says to the Prophet, who will save you today? Who will save you today? And the Prophet woke up and he got up from the floor and he says, Allah will save me today. And the man, upon hearing the name Allah, he trembled and he dropped the sword. And our Prophet picked up the sword and he says to this man, and who will save you today? And the man begged for forgiveness and he was forgiven by our Prophet. And he says, I testify that you are indeed the Messenger of Allah. And he went back to his people and he says, I have never met a man that is greater than Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us istikhlaf and tamkeen for this ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And brothers, please make a special dua for two of the relatives of Brother Arshad in South Africa who are in a critical condition. He's asking all of us to make dua for him and for his family and for those two individuals who are very critically ill. May Allah give them shifa. May Allah make it a kafara, a expiation of their sins. May Allah give them a speedy recovery. May Allah give patience to them and their families. May Allah forgive the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. May Allah give strength and hidayah and taqwa to the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. اللهم اهدنا فيمن هديت وعافنا فيمن عافيت وتولنا فيمن توليت وبارك لنا فيما أعطيت وقنا شر ما قضيت فإنك تقضي ولا يقضى عليك إنه لا يذل من واليت ولا يعز من عاديت تباركت ربنا وتعاليت نستغفرك اللهم ونتوب إليك. We ask Allah to give aid and relief and comfort to the orphans of this ummah. May Allah give aid and comfort and relief to the widows of this ummah and to the elderly of this nation and to humanity. May Allah guide humanity to the correct path. May Allah guide us and keep us upon La ilaha illallah. May Allah make us die upon that kalima. May Allah make us live upon that kalima. We ask Allah in His infinite mercy and His grace to help the Muslimin who are shackled up in prisons wherever they are, to give them patience and relief and to give patience to their families. May Allah give us strength and support. May Allah help us, all of us, in our endeavors, in our studies. May Allah make us of those who are forgiven and who have guidance and who reach and approach Allah with pure hearts. And lastly, we ask Allah to send peace and blessings and prayers upon Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, upon his blessed family and upon his companions. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Stand for prayer, inshallah.